you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace to you, mercy and peace from God the voice, Jesus Christ the word, and the Holy Spirit the breath. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning has Jesus once again on the way, not merely on a journey, but on the road to Jerusalem and the cross. The blunt and forthright gospel writer Mark tells us the story of a man who runs up to Jesus and asks a question. For him, an apparently pressing question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Or put another way, what must I do to win God's love and favor? Keep in mind that this was the first century, and we have no idea what the concept of eternity was to those early Middle Eastern people. And this man had perhaps been listening to Jesus teach, part of the crowd that had been hearing this new and radical rabbi, amazed at the authority with which Jesus taught, caught up by the uniquely wonderful approach Jesus was offering on life and faith and God's love and mercy. But Jesus was leaving that place, and the man wanted an answer to what was troubling him. What is the bottom line for so many of us? "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Was this man, do you suppose, desiring a seat at the right hand of God in heaven? Or was eternal life more about personal contentment? Was he looking for direction to a new path in his life as a way to combat the fear of inevitable death? Or perhaps he didn't want anything more than the assurance that he was doing a good job, being a good person, living the way God wanted him to live. What more do I have to do? He was likely thinking. I've done my best to keep the commandments. I try to be a good neighbor. I try to do the right thing. Is there something else? Something more? While insisting to Jesus that he has done all he could do to please God, to earn God's love. And with his question and his answer, whether he's aware of it or not, he is also insisting that God's love is something which must be earned. This familiar story is about a man who is met by Jesus, called by Jesus. And this man has not done anything wrong. In fact, Mark tells us that Jesus saw him and loved him. He was what we would call a good and decent man. And yet he saw himself as blameless and was proud of what he was doing to live a good life. I have kept all the commandments. A sign that this man saw himself in control of his own life rather than entrusting it to God. What he was asking Jesus is what he himself could do rather than asking what God would do in and through him. And Jesus' answer? Follow me. Leave everything else behind. That's scary. At least scary enough to rattle this man who had approached Jesus, for we are told he went away grieving. He couldn't trust God enough to give of what he had been blessed with to those not so fortunate, living out the way of Jesus. A person like us, an ordinary person, is met by Jesus and asked to follow. But he decides being a disciple costs too much. A person like us is being invited to be a disciple of Jesus, and this person, like us, walks in the other direction. And take note, fellow North Americans, the reason was money, possessions, material wealth, the things which kept him bound. The man walks away. Because Jesus' answer was a shock to the man, and to the crowds gathered around, and often to us. You see, wealth in the first century was seen as a sign of God's blessing and favor, while poverty was seen as evidence of God's displeasure, even punishment. But are our views today all that different? Don't we really admire the rich and famous, tend to assume the best of them, give them a pass on bad behavior? Don't we use terms like deserving or undeserving when speaking about the poor? And what does that say about our attitudes toward wealth and poverty? But I digress. The question of the man and Jesus' difficult reply is perhaps a caution to us. Don't ask Jesus a question if you don't want to be challenged. Don't go to God in prayer and not expect a challenge, a push to grow, a nudge to make a change in your life journey. For you see, the risk in facing God in Christ with our questions is coming to the awareness that good enough is only the beginning of something greater. And yet, how many of us could or would actually do what Jesus asked? Sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and follow me. Uncouple ourselves from our distractions and encumbrances, from any and all the things which keep us bound. Unburdened, Jesus didn't add, free to do and go wherever you are most needed to do the work of bringing in the reign of God. An American tourist in Jerusalem met a monk who offered to show him around the monastery of which he was a part. On the tour, they came to this monk's room, and the tourist noticed that there was no radio or TV, no computer, only one change of clothes, a towel, and a blanket. "How do you live so simply?" he asked. The monk answered, "I notice that you have only things enough to fill one suitcase. How do you live so simply?" To which the tourist replied, "But I'm just a tourist. I'm only passing through this place." To which the monk replied, "So am I. So am I." Like the questioning man in today's gospel, we are most often possessed by our possessions, by those things in life we don't think we can live without, as yesterday's luxuries become today's necessities. Don't believe me? Well, here are a few questions to ponder. How much do I spend on my pets? Just a little side here. Americans spend a total of $69.5 billion on their pets last year. What are the monthly payments on my credit card or credit cards? When did I last purchase a car and why? Did I really need it? How many hours a month must I work to pay my mortgage? How much did I spend on that new iPad or iPhone? And did I really need it? We are possessed by our possessions, by our standard and style of living, which can be an obstacle between us and God. But it's hard to let go of what we think we need in order to trust God's providence and grace. And all the while, the voice of Jesus is saying, "Give them up. Give to those who do not have and follow me." It's interesting to me that in the 15th century, Desiderius Erasmus, a Roman Catholic priest and a contemporary of Martin Luther, wrote these words, "Nowadays, the rage for possessions has got to such a pitch that there is nothing in the realm of nature, whether sacred or profane, out of which profit cannot be squeezed." And this was 500 years ago. I wonder what he would be saying now. Now, I'm certainly not wealthy. Perhaps you aren't either. Except we are. In the overall wealth of the world, we are indeed all among the wealthiest, as almost half of the world's people live on less than $2.50 a day, or just over $900 a year. How'd you like to get by on that? We call ourselves followers of Jesus, all the while turning our backs on those in need and holding tightly onto our possessions. And I do not know how to rationalize these words of Jesus our Lord with how I live my life every single day. All too often, Jesus is presented as the solution to all our problems, the way to fix everything in our lives. But this story from today's gospel reminds us that Jesus is sometimes the beginning of problems in our lives, which we would not have to face if we had never met him. You see, God doesn't want to be an afterthought in our lives. God wants our love with all our heart and our soul and our might. And so God challenges us at the one point we cannot give up or think we cannot. The man who had approached Jesus couldn't let go of what he possessed in order to be possessed by God. "Why so much, Lord?" he asked. We ask. Why not allow us to simply say a kind word instead of acting in compassion by helping another? Why not allow us to simply say we are for God instead of actually having to be involved in the work of justice and mercy and peace for God? Why are our good intentions not enough? Well, answer these questions. Can the hungry feed themselves? Can the lonely care for themselves? Can the children and youth learn the important lessons of life on their own? Can those grieving or overburdened lift themselves up? No! Instead, we are being called, you and me, to be the hands and feet and heart of God for those around us, for those in our neighborhoods and those in our world, those in need of food and conversation, those in need of love and presence, those in need of caring and genuine concern, and if necessary, daring intervention. The story I've told of Clarence Jordan, the great Southern social prophet who visited a church in the Deep South. He was surprised to find that this relatively large church was thoroughly integrated, not only black and white, but rich and poor. And this was in the 1960s. So Jordan asked the old country preacher about it. "How did you get the church this way?" "What way?" the preacher asked. And Jordan explained his surprise at finding a church so integrated and in the Deep South. "Well, sir," said the preacher, "when our preacher left our small church, I went to the deacons and said, I'll be the preacher. The first Sunday, I opened the book and read, 'As many of you as has been baptized into Jesus has put on Jesus, and there is no longer any Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, males or females, because you is all one in Jesus.' Then I closed the book, and I said, 'If you are one with Jesus, you are one with all kinds of folks. And if you ain't, well, you ain't.'" Fascinated, Jordan asked what happened. "Well," the preacher said, "the deacons took me into the back room and they told me they didn't want to hear that kind of preaching no more." Jordan asked what he did then. "I fired them deacons," the preacher roared. "Then what happened?" asked Jordan. "Well," said the old hillbilly preacher, "I preached that church down to four. Not long after that, it started growing. And it grew. And I found out that revival sometimes don't mean bringing people in, but getting people out that don't dare to love Jesus." I know, this is hard. Following Jesus is no easy road. But before you get discouraged, before you're tempted to turn away like the man in the story, remember that Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Loved him. Not judged him, but simply loved him. Then hear the promise that Jesus makes. For human beings, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So break free. Let go of your stuff, of whatever keeps you bound. Hear the voice of Jesus saying, "Follow me. I believe you can do it. I love you." For such is the peril and promise of being met by Jesus. Amen and amen.